Well, this morning it's my pleasure to introduce, and many of you know him very well, but my brother in Christ, my dear friend, in many ways, more than one, my mentor, Malcolm Warfield. Malcolm, if you want to come on up, time to put you in the hot seat this morning. So this is Malcolm. If anybody hasn't met Malcolm Warfield, he is a local guy that lives right here in Fluvanna. He lives right down next to Scottsville. He lives right through the woods from where I grew up, on the little farm where I grew up. And he has a ministry that is not, it wasn't something that was drummed up from, the IMB or some national organization. It wasn't anything like that. It was God put a vision in his heart through his wife and him that something they could do internationally that they could do to help people. So and he was obedient. And he said, okay, I might not be able to do it all, but I can do something. And I remember we were talking about that this week. And so he has what's called the seed ministry, and it's sowing edible and evangelical deeds. I don't know why the evangelical got me all week, but so he goes. I'm gonna let him tell you exactly more what he does. But for 16, 17 years now, he's been going all over the world, just simply doing what God asked him to do. And the things, he couldn't even cover all the things that God has done through his ministry and through his obedience, and just the blessings that have come from it. I know I have been blessed to go with him twice to India, and the things that God did just in my heart and in my life when I was with this humble servant of the Lord and saw the Lord working through me and learning how God is faithful when he calls you to do something, to see you through it and to work through it. And so it's just awesome. And so today he is presenting on the trip that him and Dwayne, my other brother in Christ, my friend, went on in January. They went to Uganda and planted some gardens and did some work there, and also planted those evangelical seeds. And so he's going to present today. You just got back when?
Yes. September.
So the second week of September, he just got back from Uganda again. He went back, and this is what we're reporting on today. So I'll let him talk. So give it up for my brother Malcolm.
My brother gives me too much credit because it's all God's work. But he'll be the first to tell you, you really might not want to go on a trip with me because I'm about the most boring person you'll ever go with.
That's not true.
The seed ministry actually started by my wife's encouragement. I think I've told you all this story before. I went on a mission trip, and all we did was paint a house. That was it. We didn't buy the paint, teach people how to paint, how to tape, how to trim. Went and did a little preaching, not much. I came home, and I told her it was a waste of money. She says, well, you know what? Every week, you take a bushel basket or a box of vegetables out of the garden and put it in the back of the church. Why don't you teach people how to plant, how to be self-sustainable, instead of standing there with the hand out? So that's how the seed ministry got started. I had the urge because of the Great Commission. We all know that one, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. One of the biggest followers of that was Paul. But Paul was also a teacher, and he taught Timothy. I'd like to give you just a bit of a letter that he wrote to Timothy. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 2. It says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We see that happening out here day to day in churches, not following the true gospel. But it says, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. Every one of you has a ministry because you have a talent. God gave you a talent, and you may have to search yourself to find that talent. But your ministry starts as soon as you walk out that door. It doesn't start when you walk in that door. We come here to fellowship and to strengthen and encourage. But our ministry starts when we go out that door. So, where's this going to come up? Down on the wall? Let's see if we can get started. This is a beautiful pastoral scene. This is looking out the back door of the guest house, which is one story above ground. The only bad thing is you have to go out the front door and all the way around the guest house and down that path to find the outhouse. But it's a pretty walk. I don't know if you can see, but this is a young girl with a Fluco shirt. I was given a great gift of gently used clothes, which I'm going to talk about later, to take because they're in rags over there, people. I mean, literally, in rags. And some of them I can't show because there's many little boys that have no pants. There's many little girls that have no tops. It's deplorable. This is a group of children. Now, I've always bribed the children. I carry a whole big 5-pound bag of lollipops. So I can brag. There's your jump ropes that you all donated. You don't know the joy that these things bring to these children. Peanuts. We harvested peanuts. And this is just a small section. I think that's peanuts, or is that corn? That's corn, okay. You'll see the peanuts later. But they bring it out. We go in. We shuck the corn. Lay it out in what they call the shine, which is the sunshine, to dry it out so that it can be ground into meal. This is us harvesting peanuts. We learn to plant peanuts under the corn. Double cropping. It's a legume. It puts nitrogen back in the soil. It works out real well. Hand pulling peanuts. And this is just to show you that I did work. I wasn't there just to take pictures. Thunderstorm came. We had to rush and take all the corn off of the ground, out of the shine, and put it up on the porch of this building. Oh, this is how the choir knows what to sing. Okay. Sweet potatoes. Their sweet potatoes are white, not orange. Very starchy, very good, very filling. And main diet over there is you get 4 starches on plate. Very seldom do you get meat. that's why I always take canned hams. I've even learned to like Spam and just canned chicken breast. Those people are just so receptive to things like that. But you'll get rice, sweet potatoes, pasha, and
some kind of bean or lentil or peanut sauce.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of what you were trying to grow.
Cassava.
This young lady was one of my best friends. She is, she looks to be like 85. She's 40 or 57. But she is a sweetheart. She found out that I like lentils. So she made me a great big pot of lentils to put over my rice. And she wasn't going to serve them to anybody else until I got my fill. there are the peanuts beside the corn. Back out in the shine. The storm had passed. The ground's dry. We can put everything back out to dry. And you see, it's a short-eared white corn. It's not sweet corn. And I may keep you all a little long today with these pictures, but that's okay because the Redskins are playing the Patriots, so it's just be the 5th loss. Now, I'm used to cotton down in North Carolina. Cotton balls are usually about this size. This is a bowl of cotton that hadn't sprung open yet. And there's one down below it. We harvested over 6 tons of cotton before it was ginned. And the cotton balls are almost the size of this Bible. They're huge and picked by hand. And boy, I can understand. We take, you know, those great big 10-foot, 12-foot long burlap sacks that we used to use them when we sheared sheep. We put the wool in it, and then my job as a kid was to jump in the bag. And my brother's job to torment me was to tie the bag off when I was in it. But, yes, a little over 6 tons of raw cotton. Thunderstorm coming. Gather up the corn, put it up on the porch. This is to show you that everybody is an entrepreneur. This guy is a traveling salesman. His bicycle is his store. And wherever he can go, he'll make a sale. This will give you an idea of the clothing. These kids will wear those clothes literally until they fall off. A 125 motorcycle with a piece of half-inch rope pulling a corn sheller with a man riding on the corn sheller. There's the corn sheller. They brought that thing out of probably close to 5 miles to the place where we were working. We put the corn in bags so that the man on top can dump the bags in. This is all OSHA approved. And when I was growing up, we had the old big one there with the big wheel that you cranked and you fed it by hand. They put that big blue tarp out there so that it doesn't get in the pan. It's not wasted. It won't get lost. Every morsel is gathered up, swept up. Every piece of dirt and every piece of cob is included when it goes to the mill and it's ground into flour for cornmeal. There they are loaded in 2 sacks. 100 kilos or... Not 100 kilos, but it's close to 500 pounds on those 2 bags. You see them sewing the edges together with cornstalk leaves so that they're trying to get no spills. This guy's got 500 pounds on the back of a 125 motorcycle, plus him. They're just using strips of cornstalk and leaves to make sure that there's no leaks on these bags. And you see the guy sitting up in there. Now, if he hits a bump, he'll never raise a family. And these are the roads that they have to go down. We were in a Toyota Corona. All the cars are different names over there. And we went to visit Richard, friend of Dwayne's, who Dwayne helped miraculously with his nursing skills to help him with about a severe malaria. Well, the road had washed out. And I said, no, don't turn in there. We'll walk. And he said, oh, no, we'll go. He said, no problem. We'll go. We went, we ripped the entire exhaust system off of this car, tied it to the side of the car, went into town, it's dark, pull into this alley, that I would be scared to death to get into. And it's nothing but guys working on cars. Half of them don't have flashlights. They're using their cell phones as light. They pulled the entire header system off, took that out, took it down, welded it up, brought it back, put it together. The whole thing took about 2 hours. And you know what? It cost $40. Oh, this is Moses' church. I was privileged to be able to preach the word in his church. Moses is a very special man to me. Very humble man. He's established this church. Along with this church, he's established a school. And he's establishing a tremendous garden. And it's really cool because I'd never thought of things like this before. Stretched over the garden, instead of trying to use shade mat or anything else, he's got these poles and strings and everything run. And he grows passion fruit. The vine goes all over the top of this garden. This man, Dwayne and I, went to his home. And he cooked us a meal that he could no way afford. This man's got 7 children. And he lives in a room not as big as one of these annexes in the whole house. And he knew we couldn't drink the water. He got on a bicycle and disappeared for almost about an hour. And came back with bottles of soda pop, warm soda pop, for Dwayne and me to drink. So we'd have a drink with our meal. This is the school that he's trying to build. As you can see, everything's brick by brick. As they can afford a bag of concrete, they'll add some more. But what really is special to me is this building where you see the ribbing of wood and sticks. The building is made completely from cow manure. You know what? That's the administration building. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Beans. We started teaching to plant a crop of beans every 3 weeks. That way there's always beans to go. This is a field that's already being productive. But this way, in the climate, they can never. It never changes. You're right on the equator. It never changes. These are my warriors. They will sit there for hours and listen to me tell Bible stories. And Anthony will tell you I'm the most boring Bible teller in the world. But I do get a little theatrical and kind of act them out a little bit. You can always count on the kids because there's the lollipops at the end. Everybody. But again, I'd like you to notice the clothes. This is a moderately successful village. Once again, this is joy that you all have helped to provide. You have been such an encouragement through this entire thing. Did I turn something off? No. I must have hit the wrong button. Your gifts, your financial contributions, your prayers, and just your encouragement have been so much to me and this ministry. Eggplants. I don't like them, but they grow them. It's something. It's a good vegetable. My wife loves them. Tomatoes. Completely covered with them. This is a new crop of corn. We harvested the other corn. We just moved to another field and planted a new crop of corn. This is about a week 10 days into it. This looks like a grave, but as my brother well knows, this is a latrine. And that's a man with a pick in there. That's pretty tight quarters. I'll have you know that my brother Dwayne dug about almost two-thirds of a latrine very similar to that when he was over there. He's a big boy. This is Pastor Alex's new baby. Is that it? Okay. To be able to do this has been such a privilege and an honor. And I had a couple people ask me about this big hole in my head. And I tell them that I got in a fight with gravity the other night. Gravity won. That's why I'm a little stiff and got a hole in my head. So my wife and I had a very long talk. She's been urging me for a long time not to make any more solo trips. So January is my last solo trip. I need a caretaker to go with me. So I'm planning one in August. So if anybody needs to get some shots and a passport, we'll help you. We'll raise the funds. Amen. If I have to sit out here and throw a barbecue, smoke some Boston butt, whatever it takes. If God's calling you, please, please, don't turn a deaf ear. We heard that today. If God puts it on your heart, step out. Now, a lot of people say when God closes a door, go through a window. I disagree with that. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. When God closes a door, fall down in the hallway and pray. Because the only thing that goes through a window is a baseball and a thief. Don't look for that window. God will open a door when He is ready. But until He does, just pray in the hallway. And with that, I'd like to leave with a reading from Ephesians chapter 6. Just verses 19 and 20. And these verses mean they have stayed with me a lot. I love the book of Ephesians. My life verse comes from chapter 3, verse 8, which is says, although I am less than the least of all men, I have been granted the grace to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ to the Gentile. But these two verses are very, very strong. And it says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, that words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Now I'm going to ask you, church, a few things. You saw the clothes. It's the end of summer, going in fall. Lightweight clothes are going on sale. Maybe your children have outgrown their summer clothes, and they're still in pretty good shape. Well, I'd like to start a collection of clothes for children from age 3 to 13, especially. That bag of clothes I took over was such a gift. It was amazing. It was amazing. And if you want to go and just buy a couple t-shirts or some shorts, I ask you not to get the cheapest thing on the block. Because these women wash clothes on a rock. In the river. Anthony laughed when I brought up this other subject. I'd like maybe once a quarter. I'd love to see it more often. But I'd like for the church to start an Undie Sunday. Yeah, we laugh. We think it's funny. These kids don't have underwear. I mentioned it one day to somebody, and they said,
What are they in underwear for? They're just God's children like you and me and our children. Why shouldn't they be having the privilege of it? Why shouldn't...
It's endless. It truly is endless. Because if I could, I can clothe the children in this village. 8 miles down the road is another one.
You know, there's these little clusters of people that are being supportive to each other. If it's in your heart, I guarantee you it'll get there. If you want to get a picture of it, I'll make sure you get a picture of a child wearing your clothes. But it's you know, we think nothing about running over here to the old wagon wheel after church, plopping down $20, $30 for dinner. We don't think anything. People, I know, I see people, I've never had one, but I see people spend $5 for a cup of Starbucks. $5 will take you to the dollar store and buy a nice pack of Hanes underwear. I know, because I got a pair on right now. I'm not going to show you. A couple t-shirts. Maybe even a dress. This bag of clothes had a woman's dress in it. And the proprietor of the guest house that I stay at, it fit her perfectly. It fit her perfectly, like it had been made for her. And she had that dress on, and she just didn't want to take it off. I mean, tears streaming down her eye. She had never had anything that new or that nice. We are so blessed. You saw the conditions of the churches. You saw the conditions of the children. We are so blessed. I just ask that we share the blessings that God has given us with these other people that have come to Christ. Anthony had the privilege of baptizing two young ladies in a river. None of us wanted to go in. We didn't know snakes, leeches, everything else in there. I baptized 70 people in the Nile River. And I had to have a circle of people around to keep the crocodiles away. But we did it in the name of Christ. These people are eager. They have no hope. But this gives you hope. And it gives you the truth. And when you have the truth, it sets you free. I've been granted the grace to preach at the prison 2 nights a month. And I tell them that all the time. And when I say, you know the truth, they all chorus back. And it will set you free because it goes far beyond those walls of wire and walls. So if it's in your heart, anybody wants to give me a holler, call me, do whatever, ask Anthony. Y'all have been so gracious, I hate to ask for more, but I just want to put these things out there and see if you'd like to help. But I thank you for all you have done and all you continue. And I just pray that you're all as blessed as you've allowed me to be.